Wherever you are, normally I would say it's good to see everyone, but I don't see anybody in this empty church this afternoon. My worst fear is that I'd be preaching to empty pews, and it has happened, but we're going to get through it. I'm reading from Philippians, the fourth chapter, starting in verse number one. It says, "Therefore, my brethren, beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." Verse 3 says, "And I entreat thee also, true York fellows, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts, your feelings, and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Lord, we ask your blessing and anointing upon your word this afternoon. God, that you would touch it, and that, Lord, you would dispel any kind of fear or any kind of panic in our life. You have always given us the victory, and we receive peace through you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I can't tell you how much I have missed our regular church services, and I'm sure you have as well. Palm Sunday is probably one of my most favorite services of the year, and we were supposed to have Brother Littles with us, and I couldn't wait to see all of the palm branches that we have in the past in people's hands waving as they were worshiping, and we don't have that this year, unfortunately, but we do have our palms. We can wave them at home. We can still worship and get a hold of the presence of God. And I especially miss the fellowship of the saints. We draw strength from one another being together. And Hebrews 10 and 25 has never seemed so meaningful to me as it has over the last few weeks. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." By getting together, we're exhorting one another. We're strengthening one another. And thank God for technology, but it will never, ever replace the gathering together of the saints. There are two things that create panic among people more than anything else, and that's over our health and our wealth. And I know that this is an unprecedented time for us, yet the early church experienced much of what we're going through right now. I remember going through the catacombs under the city of Rome, Italy, some years ago, and we were told that this is where the saints had to go in order to worship God. They met in an underground cemetery because they were restricted from gathering together in the city. We have had so much freedom together to worship, and it's very difficult for us to surrender that freedom that we've always enjoyed. But the early church came out of those imposed times of quarantine much stronger and much more determined to serve God. Our real challenge is not this invisible enemy. Our real challenge is our flesh, ourselves. What are we going to do when we need to govern ourselves in worship and the Word of God. Last week, we called for a church fast a week ago Wednesday, and I got a text from Brother Weatherspoon that said his son CJ, little CJ, was also fasting, and about noon, he declared to his dad, "I think my flesh is crucified now. Can I have a snack?" I feel like, okay, God, you know, the flesh is crucified now. I need some relief from this hunger to be back together. We've had enough separation to last us a lifetime. So I thought that I would offer a little snack from the Word of God. So I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter. It's a familiar scripture to a lot of people. Starting in verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the souls of all of the people were grieved, every man for his son and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. Verse number 8, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, God answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Church, we're going to recover all. Church is going to be better than we've ever had before. There's something that will strengthen us, something that will cause us to be more dedicated than ever before. I can't think of a worse situation than what we just read about. The enemy invades my home and burns it to the ground, and then my whole family is taken captive by our sworn enemy. I don't want anybody to be taken captive during this time of separation. The scripture gives us a picture of the stress that David and his men went through. They cried out and they wept until they had no more power, no more strength in order to weep. And then the next step is always to find blame for why has this happened to me. It's a part of our human nature. If this is happening to me, there must be somebody that's responsible. David's men started to talk about stoning David because of their grief. And if he hadn't gone out with his men, perhaps they would not have lost their homes or lost their families. Whenever we are put in a stressful situation, we have to ask ourselves, did God allow this situation to hurt me or to benefit me? And the answer is always, there is a benefit, there is a reward to whatever we go through. And in the middle of all of the chaos and all of the complaints, and even the accusations of the people that he loved the most, David encouraged himself in his God. David encouraged himself in his God. I've talked about this over the years. I've many times pictured David walking a little ways away from the 600 men and doing a little dance, having his own worship session, getting a hold of God, lifting his voice in praise, not in grief, perhaps weeping, but tears of joy and not of sorrow. Psalms 31 and 24 says, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Psalms 42 and 5 says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his presence." The word encouraged in that scripture in 1 Samuel means to look to God for strength to conquer the enemy. We need to look to God for our victories, not man-made solutions. We are not equipped to handle this pandemic, but certainly God is equipped. We need to rely on God for everything in our life, especially in stressful times. And we can't be blaming somebody else for the situation that we are in. Next, what happened was really amazing. David's worship, David's focus on God, changed the hearts of 600 men, and their attitudes now changed, saying, "David, would you go and inquire of God what we should do?" What would have happened if David had not worshiped? What would have happened if he had not inquired of the Lord, "What shall we do?" Would they have gotten their families back? Their family's fate was in the action of these men. The families that we are responsible for, well, their fate is in our actions. What are we going to do during this time of separation? God told David to pursue after the enemy, to overtake the enemy, and without fail, you're going to recover everything that you have lost during this time. So David and his 600 men pursued and came to the edge of the enemy's camp. But what is amazing is only 400 of his men crossed over the brook Besor. And it said that 200 of his men stayed behind because they were so faint or weak that they could not go over the brook Besor. So why were 400 men ready to pursue, overtake, and recover all? Why were 400 men have enough strength and determination to go after their families, and yet there were 200 that were so weak that they had to stay behind? Were not their families also taken, and yet they didn't have the strength to save their own families? Isn't there enough motivation in order to go after that which is lost, especially our own families? Could the difference be that the 400, instead of grieving, started to worship God and encourage themselves in the Lord? And because of that, they were strengthened enough to say, "I know God is able to do anything." It's a difference between the two spies that brought back the good report going into the promised land and those that could not. Yet 200 men allowed their situation and their grief to completely render them too weak to pursue what they had lost. I don't want anybody to be lost during this pandemic. But we have to be strong. We have to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We have to worship God even if we're not in a familiar place where we worship. The key isn't the number that come up against the enemy. It's the consecration, and it's God who gives us the victory. Verse 18 of 1 Samuel 30 says, "And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives," his family. The Amalekites represent our flesh. Throughout the Bible, it represents our own flesh that we have to overcome. Even as C.J. Weatherspoon knows that we need to crucify the flesh before we can get anything that God wants to give us. Now, if King Saul had killed all of the Amalekites in chapter 15, like God commanded him to do, there would not have been a need for David to pursue what the enemy had taken from him. The key to victory is to crucify the flesh so the enemy can't get to our families, can't take anything away from us. So let's bring this home. I've been quarantined. You've been quarantined of no fault of our own. Remember, all things work together for good for those that are the called according to his purpose, not ours. There is a purpose behind what's going on in our lives right now. We know we have many restrictions in our lives right now. Every day we hear reports of sickness and death, which can cause panic and fear even to the church of the living God. And we, like David's men, could look for someone to blame or even question God at this time of our life. But I believe that we are in a great position of rescue and save our families from the enemy. I believe there are people who are now questioning their position with God or looking for answers that the world can't give them, and perhaps they now can be rescued by the church. And as we prevail and as we pursue and overtake and recover those things that perhaps we lost and perhaps lost years ago, such as our peace and joy and our true intimate relationship with the God of Calvary, or maybe even lost our family or lost our home, we will receive the spoils of the battle. If we pursue, overtake, we will recover all. We'll see great things happening in our church like we have never seen before because of this. See, God is able to create revival where man can't. It happened in 9/11. People were coming to church that hadn't been in church for years. And I believe beyond a doubt that there will be people who will now come to church that hadn't before. I believe we're going to see great miracles and healings, song service that are set on fire from above. And most of all, I believe a harvest of souls that we could never have received had we not gone through this pandemic. I want to thank everyone who continues to be so faithful to God, even though we aren't able to get together like we normally do. And I want to thank Brother Monday and the worship team for recording song service. They have blessed me as I worship in my home. I have sent these song services to people that have never been in our church at all. And I've gotten back incredible responses from them, exposing them to a Pentecost that they didn't even know existed. Most likely we could not have shared this anointed worship had we not been restricted to our homes as we have. Oh, the day will come when we will once again come together and worship. We're going to have a banquet. That first service is going to be so awesome, and we're going to have a banquet after it. What a day that will be when the church I can see and that we can once again experience the Shekinah glory of God together that we could never experience by ourselves. And God already has set the date on his calendar, and I'm looking forward to that date. As your pastor, I want to pray a blessing of protection on each and every one of you, that there will be no anxiety in your life or fear because our victory is in God. Lord, we thank you, God, for what's happening in our lives. We don't understand it, but we know that you're totally in control. It is for your purpose, and we believe you and trust in you. And God, we ask that you take any fear, any anxiety, any feeling of no purpose in our life at this point, and God, turn it around and cause us to feel your presence and reassure us that you're always with us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.